Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Nunvav, and we're holding right at the top, Echad HaMa'areh VeEchad HaGomer Kana. So we're moving on. Yesterday we had a long discussion about how to understand the nature of Bia in terms of Hara, in terms of Achlasas HaTorah, Neshika, Gemar Bia, and the dinim specifically of Shivcha Harufa, of Shechvat Zera. Now, the next part of the Mishnah interests us because it says in the Mishnah that whatever we're talking about, whether we're talking about Hara, whether we're talking about Gemar Bia, you still manage to be kone. Now, we don't know exactly what that means. And here, fascinatingly, we're entering an extremely important and very primal question about the nature of Yibum and the Bia of Yibum to the idea of making this woman your wife. Now, remember, what we've come up with over here is a strange situation where the act of Bia is what's important, and the intent is unimportant. So in other words, as the Mishnah said before, I don't care if you know who you're sleeping with, you don't know who you're sleeping with, and obviously there's no intent of a kinyan. And we talked about even in a case where the person is forced into this, there's misidentification, it's always a yibum. But remember that if you came to actually conclude a real kedushin with that, it would be a joke. You can't be Mekadesh and Isha Bebiya if you don't know who she is. I mean, that's absurd, right? So now, if I'm talking about merely the act of intercourse, and we say that nonetheless you were Kena, and remember the fact that it says in that same Pasuk, Vaitalo Isha, that idea is that she becomes his wife, as we said before, L'chol Davar. But becoming a wife, L'chol Davar, seems to be a contradiction to the concept of how such a kinyan would work. So now the very fundamental issue is the part of Yibam that creates the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama as his wife, L'chol Davar. Can that as well be achieved by a Bia that he doesn't know who he's sleeping with? That's the question. Are we able to actually tease apart the elements that create the Yibum and separate them out from the part of the Yibum that says that he actually is taking her as a wife? The Yibma, that yes, but Leisha, perhaps not. How would that work? I'll tell you, it's very simple. Remember that the idea of Yibum is that the Yavam is taking over the Kedushin of the first brother. This is strongly expressed in the idea that he doesn't even write his own Chiyav of the Ketubah, right? The Ketubah remains Ubilvad Sheteya Nichsei Achiv HaRishon. So, and the Bala HaRishon, which is his Ach. So then perhaps the way to look at it is this. The Yibum is defined as the act of Bia, and that is useful for taking over the presence of the husband. What a beautiful way of looking at it. People don't copulate together normally unless we're talking about this long-term relationship. Well, this is a long-term relationship. What makes it a long-term relationship? It's a continuation of the husband's relationship. So by the simple act of copulation, he has made himself a continuing presence of her husband. You'll say, okay, fine, so then they're married, right? No. Well, why not? Because remember that there's different stages to marriage. Suppose the first husband actually had himself never copulated. Suppose the original husband had only given her a ring, so she was an arusa. So now when the Yavam takes over, so you'll say, oh, okay, but I mean, he went all the way, right? No, he didn't. Because he didn't even know who he was sleeping with. So imagine a situation where we have one of these ridiculous kinds of semi-kinyonim that are good enough for creating yibum, but would never have been good enough for creating a marriage. Can he use the yibum in a way that just takes the place of the original husband, but hasn't achieved any more? Or does it mean that when the Torah gives you that woman with Zika and says that the way to be Kohen of the Yavama is by the act of Bia, that makes you a full husband and puts you into a stronger position even than the original brother? Now, that is a fantastic question because it indicates totally different ways of recognizing the way that Bia works, Bichlal, for Yibam, and the way that Yibam actually itself works, right? Amazing. And this is what we're finally getting into here. So the Mishnah said, now, this part about Echad HaMa'areh, the Echad HaGomer Kana, is very misleading. I'll tell you why. We've actually had two Mishnayos, right? One of the Mishnayos was talking about the intent of the Bria, of the Bia. Shogeg, Mezid, Ones, Rotzain. Fine. The next Mishnah was talking about the way in which the Bia was done, physically. Gomer, Ma'areh, or Bia Kedarka, or Bia Shalok Kedarka. So the truth is we've got a lot of different issues over here. By quoting this last piece, it's mashma that it's only referring to that last piece, and that's very misleading, because that is not our problem. Because Echad HaGomer v'Echad HaMa'areh, that may be true by all kinyanim of Bia. But the part about Mezid or Shogeg or Ones, that's not true of all types of Bias that you want to use for a kinyan, you see. So we're going to talk about this. It says over here, I don't care what you did, you were Kona. So when you see Kona, Kona for what? So Rav says, what do you mean Kona for what? She's your wife. You're Kona for everything. I mean, there's lots of things that you're Kona for. But you're Kona to make her, basically your wife, for things like canceling her nedarim, for creating a Yerusha situation, for, if you're a Kohen, being metame to her if she dies, and all of the various things, including eating truma, if she is being married now to a Kohen, if her husband is a Kohen, her brother, his brother is a Kohen, all of these things are included. And therefore, I don't care what the Bia was. Once she's your Yavama, she's your wife. Shmuel says, there's two completely different issues over here. There's the question of whether you were Kona her as a wife or whether you were Kona her as a Yavama. When the Torah added all of these types of issues, and remember we were derish those issues from the Pasuk of Yibum, Yavama, Yavo, Alea, meaning Bain, as we said, actually it ended up being because of the repetitive statement in the Pasuk, but the Pasuk that we brought was the first part of the Pasuk, Yavama, Yavo, Alea, Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. That's only a din says Shmuel in the context of the Yibum. So anything that's mentioned in that pasuk, yes. What's mentioned in that pasuk? Well, being yoresher, because it says Yakum Hashem Achiva Meit. So being yoresh, the brother, yes, that's true. That even it's poor quality bia, it's good enough for Yibum. And it's also good enough that if this brother now dies, and she was not really taken as a full wife, it doesn't matter. She can now go and marry whoever she wishes, assuming that there's no other brother that is chayav on this marriage. Fine, but there's no din of anything remaining of the original marriage to the brother we call Reuven, that first brother, right? But that's all. As far as anything else is concerned, she's not his wife yet, because you can't take a wife like that. And therefore, if you're talking about a Kohen, you know, he wouldn't be able to feed her truma, because you can't feed truma if you're a Kohen without actually being Kena her. And over here, you didn't do a normal Kenyan. You had no das to be Kena. So therefore, said Shmuel, only ledvorim ha'amurim b'parsha. Yes, she's your wife in terms of Yiba. Namely, you will inherit your deceased brother's estate, and you will pater her from Yibum, so that in the event that the Yavam dies, she can go marry whomever she wishes, but certainly not for Achilas Truma. So now, of course, there's a sub-question that relates to that. What was the level of the marriage to the first brother? Because she might have fallen to Yibum from Nisuin, and she might have fallen to Yibum from Erisin. And if we're talking about taking over the original marriage, and he's a Kohen, obviously, if the first brother was a Kohen, then if they had already been married under the Chuppah and he consummated that marriage, so now he is feeding her Truma. So in that case, I mean, it makes sense to say, even if you're doing nothing but taking the place of the husband by the act of intercourse and not a new kinyan, but you're still in the place of the husband. The original husband would feed her truma. So you too continue to feed her truma, right? So therefore, says the Gemara, I would say that if we're talking about that the first husband was already nisuim to her, so then everybody would agree that she could continue to eating truma because she was already eating truma from her first husband. The machlokus over here between Rav and Shmuel is where she falls to Yibum from an erison only. So over there, Rav says, look, basically, the Torah says this is enough to make you a Yavam. And a Yavam is a new husband. And we said, Isha hikdalo min hashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you this wife. That's also by doing this act of husbandry, you become a husband. Right. So that's the case. So Rabbi Rachmana, Biat Shogeg Kimezi, the Torah says, it's all the same. You can't sit here making differences. She's your wife. But Shmuel says, The only thing that the Torah did, Ki Rabbi Rachmana, where are these additional ribuyim, these psukim that tell me that any type of bia is enough? That was only to make you the husband that was, because you are continuing to bodily be the husband that was. The copulation itself is the husband that was, but why would it be a kinyan, for heaven's sakes? Since when is there such a thing as a kinyan without even knowing who you're sleeping with? That's nuts. So how could it give you more than was there in the beginning? So ki rabbi rachmana l'ukme b'mokam baal, but certainly can only put you in the place of the husband. It can't make you la'alumi b'ba, can't make you stronger than the husband was. So if the husband cannot be machil you, why should the yavam be able to be machil you? It's absurd. And therefore, what we have over here is a situation where you cannot be machil b'truma. Because, after all, how can you make truma if you're only an... basically, you still have a low-class kinyan. You're a yavam, but not a yavam who has the kinyan more than the original one. You're only an orus. Now, this is very much Shmuel Atayme. Reb Shmuel over here is being completely consistent with his approach. And his general approach is that if you're talking about a not real bia, meaning a bia without a kavana for kinyan, so then it's not going to be enough to be machil b'truma. Why do we know that? Because Reb Nachman said, Shmuel's psak is very straightforward. If the husband was giving truma, then the yavam can give truma. So kosha ba'al machil, yavam machil. But if the husband wasn't giving truma, kosha ina ba'al machil, a yavam is not machil either. And therefore, this is Shmuel talking about problems of a type of bia. Obviously, we don't mean if he gave a real bia, which would also be a condition. Right, I understand. But what we're talking about over here is where he had this type of lower class bia, which Rashi refers to over as a bia grua. We've had that word before in another context. We use either the bia after mimer or get. We would call that better a bia psula, and this would be a bia grua. We keep changing a little bit the language according to the context here. But anyway, a low class, an inferior class, let's call it, of bia. So she won't be able to eat truma. Problem is that a braita says clearly, not like Shmuel. Here it says like this. A bat Yisrael who was of normal mental competence. She's a pikachat. And she goes ahead and she becomes normally an arusa to a kohen who also is of normal mental competence. And they go ahead and they get erusin. And then, unfortunately, this man has a stroke. And lo yispik lekonsa ach nitcharesh, he was unable to take her to the chuppah before he actually lost his power of speech, his power of hearing. And at that point, remember that lahalacha, he's not considered to be fully competent mentally. So therefore, he never was able to consummate lahalacha his status of nisuin, right? Because he was a cheresh, and the das of a cheresh is not enough. In that case, a na'ochelet, she cannot even eat truma after he actually physically consummates the marriage, but he's not able to create the state of nisuin. Now, what about if he died? And now, she falls to his brother, and his brother is also a cheresh. This is wild. The din is that if he does yibum by the simple act of intercourse, which is never going to be more than an act of intercourse, because even if he knows he's sleeping with, since he is a cheresh, it's exactly the same as not knowing. So for all intents and purposes, this is a bia grua that has no intention for kinyan. Unbelievably, the Braita says openly, he can feed her truma. Devastating words to poor Shmuel. Here, the power of a yavam is greater than the power of a husband, which means, I mean, that seems to be a death blow to Shmuel, because Shmuel is saying, no, we have to separate out the power of kinyan of the yavam. He'll never get a kinyan, a better kinyan than the husband. Yibam only allows him to become the husband. The bride says, beferish, that's bull. The halacha is, a yavam has a wife that is given to him in Yeraisa, and it doesn't matter what the status of his brother was. Uh-oh. And we seem to have a real diyufta of Shmuel over here. This is like impossible to answer, right?
Have you touched the bottle?
Barnea, I kicked the bottle years ago. We can all do a lechayim, at least those of us who are loyal to PK here, right? Okay. It's not easy in this country to maintain loyalty. All right. So, obviously, according to Rav, this is great, right? Because Rav said, it's exactly what Rav said. The Torah gave you a wife, and therefore you're even in a better position than the original husband. But according to Shmuel, this is a real problem. Said Shmuel, it's the wrong girsa. The only way out, right? There's a little piece missing. What's the piece that's missing? Well, here's the right way. Lo yispik lekotza ad shenitcharesh. He didn't have a chance to marry her before he got that stroke. Eino ochelet betruma. Now, insert this slight additional tikkun, says Shmuel. However, if first he was able to be kones, and then he got a stroke, then she can eat truma, and then, if he dies, she continues to eat truma, even though the yavam is himself a cheresh. Wait a minute, Shmuel, hold on a second. But then you killed the braisa. Because the end of the braisa is, and in this, a yavam is better than a husband. The way you just did it, you messed it up, because the yavam isn't better than the husband. Because the husband was also ma'akal b'truma, since he had only suffered the stroke after he was ma'akal b'truma. How are you going to read that last part? No, I could still read the last part, says Shmuel, because it means like this. Umay, what's the meaning of quote? Ubizu yafek kayach ha-yavam yikayach ha-bal, unquote. That means like this, because a Baal, had he been a cheresh from the first, so then he wouldn't have been able to be ma'akal b'truma. Whereas the yavam, he starts off as a cheresh, and nonetheless, as a cheresh, he's able to take over the kedushin of the husband. So in that sense, he's better. Obviously, he's living off of the kedushin of the husband, I agreed. But in that small sense, that the act of copulation is ipso facto sufficient. That would not have been true for a husband, but it is true for the yavam. This still makes perfectly good sense to say. And in that sense, a yavam is in a better situation than a guy who's trying to make a relationship through bia. Fine, I think that still makes sense. Okay, now, This is all based on the way we initially explained the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, that we're only talking about a question where she was not originally eating truma, but if she were originally eating truma, so that of course Shmuel would agree that a bia which creates in locum balus is sufficient to continue to feed truma. But not everybody agrees to that original analysis. And ikadi amri, there's an alternative. The alternative goes like this. That mina eris in divreko lo achlat. On the contrary, Rav certainly agrees that if she was not eating as an arusa before her first husband dies, Rav agrees you can't make the yibum better than the original marriage just because it's considered to be a bia. It's only a bia up until the point that it takes over the first husband. The machlokas Rav and Shmuel is actually only where she falls from the suin. So Rav says, okay, if she already ate truma in the first place, so she could continue to eat truma now. Whereas Shmuel says, no, she can't. Because even to put you into the same position as a baal, the Torah only allowed this idea of a bia where you don't know who you're sleeping with. So it's a bia shogeg kemezid, or the bia of a cheresh, which is the same thing. That was only for the things that are in this context of yibum, but not for all things. Doesn't talk about eating truma. Hey, wait a minute. That's not true. Because what was originally consistent in Shmuel, all of a sudden in this version becomes inconsistent. And now it's a question. But this is not consistent with what Shmuel said according to Reb Nachman. Because Reb Nachman, Amar Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say according to Reb Nachman that kol sha'abal ma'achil yavam ma'achil, that wherever a husband was allowing eating truma, the yavam will also allow eating truma. Now you're saying that according to Shmuel, that's not so. And that even if the husband was feeding her truma, the yavam will not feed her truma. Well, okay, here we're going to have to understand Reb Nachman differently. Reb Nachman was not saying the state. He was saying any type of bia that would allow a husband to provide truma, which is a real kinyan and not a bia shogeget, that will work to give a yavam truma. But if it's one of these low quality bias and the guy doesn't know who he's sleeping with, so if the ena baal ma'achilba, then it won't help the yavam either. The yavam also, and that's a completely different way of understanding it. And now in this, and according to this approach, there's no answer to Shmuel because he can't change the gears. It won't help him. So now we ask on both shitas of Shmuel and Rav, here, the same brayta we asked before. Abat Yisrael was a pikachat, and she goes ahead and she's nitarsa to a kohen who at the time was perfectly competent mentally, and then he gets a stroke. V'lo yispik lekontzach nitcharesh, cannot eat truma even after intercourse, because that's just a physical consummation and not a technical consummation. But if he dies and she falls in front of a yavam who is a cheresh, she can eat. Now, this is impossible to answer. Because even if you put in that extra piece, but if she was eating before, because according to this version, Shmuel wouldn't have allowed her to even eat if she was eating before. So this is truly devastating, according to Shmuel. Now, the truth is it's even a problem for Rav, right? Because according to the second approach, Rav agrees with Shmuel in the first approach. Namely, that you would only eat if you were previously eating. And here it says, even if you weren't previously eating, so it's a kasha on Rav too. So Rav will have to explain this the way Shmuel explained it in the first version. So Bishlam el Rav, he will say what Shmuel said before, by inserting that additional piece, that if the stroke occurred after she was already eating with truma, she can continue eating with truma. But according to Shmuel, we got a problem. Yeah, darn right you got a problem, kasha. Okay, now, turn her up on it. So now let's take a look directly to the issue of achilas truma. Bat Yisrael pikachat shenitarsa lekohen pikeach, v'lo yispik lekontza, ad shenitcharesh. So far, this is the same as the first braita, right? So she cannot eat truma, but look at this. If he gets her pregnant, this Cohen, who is not mentally competent, right? But he went ahead and he consummated the marriage. And now she gets pregnant and she has a son. Nolad Labin, she can eat truma. And the reason that she can eat truma is because it says in the Torah, Kinyan kaspo hu yochalba, and we learn from there hu yaachilba. So yelid beito or kinyan kaspo. Yelid beito will be yochal, means yochel. He will feed her. So then that means if this is his child, she eats truma because of the fact that she has his child. So because the child, she now eats truma. What about if the child dies? So then, Rabbi Natan surprisingly says, she can keep eating truma. And the Chachamim say, no, she can't, because he's gone. If the husband dies, she wouldn't be able to eat truma in a normal case. So what is the basis of Rabbi Natan saying that even if there's no child, now suddenly she can eat? Oh, my Rabbah, well, it's because she started eating. You know, so once she starts eating truma, she keeps eating truma. Says, Abaya, that's crazy. What do you mean? What do you mean once she started eating? So then the whole halakha falls apart. Because remember what the din is, gentlemen. A Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, and that Kohen is mentally competent. He takes her to the chuppah. She eats truma. He dies. She stops eating truma. Now, if he dies and he leaves her with a child, and we pointed out the similarity of this to the Inyanim of Yibum before. So this is a deeply involved with Yibum kind of issue. The continued presence of her husband in the child continues to feed her truma. If the child then dies, so why would that be different than the husband dying in a case where he was mentally competent? So according to you, Abaya says to Rava, you should say the same thing of a Bat Yisrael who went ahead, got married to a Kohen, and he dies, and she was eating truma. She should be able to continue eating truma because she started eating truma. You come up with this imaginary idea that once a person starts eating truma, they keep eating truma, which is nonsense. According to you, it should be Kvar Achla. The halacha is that it's not true. The moment that he dies, his Kiddusha disappears from her, and now she's not allowed to eat truma. So what if she's eating because the child? Same thing. If he dies, poka kedusha tabina, it should be the same thing. So your explanation is absurd. Ela amr Yosef. I'll tell you the real explanation, okay? The real explanation is this. Our assumption that only a nesua eats truma was a nonsensical assumption. The basis of eating truma for a Kohen is the fact, for an Asia's Kohen, is the fact that it says, Kinyan kaspo hu yochalba. A woman who accepts money for Kedushin is Kinyan kaspo. That's called Erisin. And therefore, midiraisa, the moment the Erisin is achieved, a woman can eat a truma. Absolutely. The only reason that we say only Nisuin can feed you truma is the gezera. We called it the bottle of Coke gezera. That's always, we talk about that. We're worried that if an arusa who is still living in her parents' home, and this arusa has got a lot of kid brothers and sisters, and her dear husband, with whom she's not allowed to sleep, but he definitely was Mekadosh her, he sends her a nice little gift, which consists of a sandwich from the local takeout shop and a bottle of Coke, which is special for Kohanim. It's called Truma Coke. Okay, so now this Truma Coke, she doesn't drink it with her sandwich, and she puts it in the fridge. What are the chances that the bottle of Coke will survive the day without kid brother drinking the bottle of Coke? Zilch. So because of that, we make the bottle of Coke is there. By the way, this is not serious because a bottle of Coke cannot really be truma on this level because of the fact that, of course, on things that are zeya ba'alma, And so you're talking about just a bottle of liquid that is used to clean spark plugs in the old days. So that's called Zeya Be'alma. That would not really have a dint of Coke, of
no,
Truma.
Coke is the real thing.
Exactly. It is the real thing. And notice they never claimed it's the real drink. And that's how they got away with that ad. It's the real thing. So when they were sued, they said, we never said it's a real drink. It was always meant for cleaning your spark plugs. You misinterpreted it. Now, this is the whole Indian of the Gemara we've been learning, jumping to conclusions. Okay, so the truth is the Arusa is allowed to eat Truma. Therefore, in this case, you're telling me that the Yavam has inherited an Arusa. Are they sleeping together? Yes. Are they living together? Yes. Are their kid brothers breaking into the fridge? No. So therefore, she continues to eat. That's all he's saying. It's very straightforward. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, that's the issue over here. Rabbi Nosson holds that if he marries her, meaning he consummates the marriage, so then of course she can eat Truma. Why not? Because of the Coke Gezeira? They're living in the same house. There's no kid brothers around. The only issue is, well, people will say, I mean, if that's true, apparently the Torah allows the Nisuin, because they think that the reason she's eating is because a Cheresh can make Nisuin. So they'll say, well, look, the Nisuin was good enough to feed her Truma, so then that must mean that the Erisin of a Cheresh is a kosher Kedushin. But it's not. That can cause terrible issues. Suppose somebody else gave her Kedushin after Cheresh gave her Kedushin. And she's going to end up sleeping with the first guy, not the second, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's a list of disasters, an endless list of disasters. So you would think, okay, fine, so let's make a Gezerah. People are not going to confuse the Nisua with the Erisin. He does not hold that there's a Gezerah. And that's the only issue over here, was the issue of the Coke bottle of the Cheresh. That's all. Omri Abaye. Wait a minute. That's a very ingenious explanation. But then what the heck does the sun have to do with anything? Why does it say if a son was born and if a son wasn't born? If you're telling me once they're living together that now there's no problem of Coke in the fridge, so the son doesn't make any difference. Why'd you throw it in? Obviously, she is not eating for her husband. She's eating for the boy. Answers Rabbi Yosef, we only mentioned that to tell me because of the Rabbanan. That the Rabbanan agree that if there's a child, that then there's no problem. And then she eats Truma, but ain't a chinami. According to the way Rabbi Nosson was talking, we don't need the son. So if you don't need the son, why didn't Rabbi Nosson argue with the Rabbanan right away? Why does he wait until it says, if there was a son, then she's ochelet because of the son, and the Rabbanan say, no, she's not ochelet. He should have argued right away without the son. But to wait until later doesn't make any sense. Well, it does. Because, look, Rabbi Nosson's got a lot of patience. He wants to give the Rabbanan a chance to speak out everything that they have to say, right? So what's he going to do? Start arguing now? Here comes the sun. So he waits, and he waits until we finish. Then he argues. Oh, says the Gemara, patience? If indeed patience is a virtue, then he's lost his patience. Because if you look at the last part of the Mishnah, it says, Nolad Laben, what should it say, according to you? Nolad Laben, the Rabbanan say he eats, right? And then we should have the Machlokas with Rabbi Nosson say, even without a ben, he eats. But it doesn't say that. Okay, in the case of the Meta Ben, the Rabbanan say, if Meta Ben ain't Ochelet, comes along Rabbi Nosson and says, Ochelet. What, Rabbi Nosson, what? Wait a second over here. You should have allowed the Rabbanan to say, Meta Ben ain't Ochelet. Instead, you jump in and you say, Ochelet, and then come along the Rabbanan and say, ain't Ochelet. So what happened? You ran out of patience in the middle, you were waiting for the sun, and then the sun comes, and you get so excited. Something's wrong. Okay, I admit it. Kasha, that is a problem in this very creative explanation of Rabbi Yosef. Okay, then we said that this is true of anyone who sleeps with any of the Arias. This is true. What is true? What is true? So now this becomes a major question. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we're talking about over here, about the bia without intent, the bia which is just hara, the bia which is shelo kedarka. When you're saying this is true of all of the arayas, that's a very, very unclear statement. Omer of Amram, let me tell you, Rav Sheshes gave a brilliant exposition, and he proved that that's the only meaning of the Mishnah. Van hirun le'ainin mimasnis, and he brightened our eyes by a careful examination of the Mishnah. And he said was an amazing thing. Now, this issue has to do with how far we're ready to go with this idea of a bia that is a coerced bia. Because that's what it says. It says, even a bia, that's the first part of the Mishnah, right? Of the opening Mishnah. A bia that was, before we got to the question of the physical parts of the bia, we were talking about the mental parts of the bia. So we started talking about bein ba'ones, bein baratzen. Okay, here's my problem. If we're talking about a kohen, all right, what's the din of a bia ba'ones of the wife of a kohen? Now, the wife of a kohen who is raped becomes asura to the kohen. And we're medayik that from the pasuk. And let me, because this is a beautiful thing and a simple thing if you understand it right up front. What the Torah says is that in the event of a saita, so over there the husband said, she's not shaman, what would be if somebody rapes a woman that is told by her husband, don't be alone by this guy. This guy comes and he rapes her. Okay. So it says over there that if he lo nitfasa, that in the event that she was not forced into this relationship, so it specifies the shachavi, we're talking over here to the saita, and the kohen's telling her, okay, if any other guy slept with you, so there the Torah says, v'shachav ish ota shechvat zera, that's where the shechvat zera appears by an eishes ish, v'ne'alam einei shav nistara v'hi nitba, v'eid ein ba, v'hi lo nitfasa, and she wasn't raped. But if she was raped, then there's no problem, right? But it says, v'hi lo nitfasa, she wasn't raped, which implies that there is a case of another person where even if she was raped, this would be true. From there, we learn that the pasuk is referring to an eishes yisrael. An eishes yisrael who is raped, that's called an anus. And let's use the word anus instead of rape, because that is echad anus when it comes to bia in the reisha of the Mishnah, right? So over here it's saying that a kohen's wife who goes through a bia anusa, a coerced bia, is considered to be the same as if she had been involved in that bia miratzon, echad miratzon and echad ba'ones. So that would be one meaning of v'chein when you talk about this is true of the arayas. It would be true of an eishes kohen. Now, there is another question that is involved in all of this, and that is that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zona. Isha grush, this case of grusha, uchalala, ozona, lo yikachu. So a kohen is not allowed to marry a zona. What is the meaning of a zona? It means somebody who's got a sign on the front door, whorehouse, or the little local whorehouse. What was it? The little red whorehouse? No, it doesn't mean that. It means like the word implies. Zona is asheratem, zonim achareyem. So you are wandering off the relationship that is really your relationship. You're wandering away from your husband. That's a zona. So now, if this woman wanders away from her husband, the question is, does that mean she wants to wander, or does it mean she was raped and wandered? Okay, that's another issue. Would she be called a zona to her husband, the kohen, even though she was raped? So there's two interrelated issues over here. Is she called an eishes ish that has had relationships with others? And that what's the isser in sleeping with such a woman? Over there, even if you were a Yisrael, if she wanted to sleep with others, it says in the Torah, lo yuchal ba'ala rishon lo shuv lekachta. Remember way back at the beginning of the Masechet when we learned that that's a reference to a sota. So her husband, after she went off and slept with another guy, he's not allowed to sleep with her. That's a lav of Machzik Grushato or a lav of Asaita. Boils down to the same thing, right? But then if he's a Kohen, that would be true even if she was raped. Is a Zona also true even if she was raped? So in this Gemara, what we're going to look into is exactly that question. Rav Sheshe said that if the wife of a Yisrael, now here is a fascinating question. The wife of a Yisrael is raped. Fine. He's allowed to sleep with her because it says v'hilo nitfas. If she's raped, it's not a problem. What happens if her husband dies and now she wants to marry a Kohen? Oh, but wait. Vis-a-vis a Kohen, she should still be a Zona. Because remember, the Torah says that when it comes to a Kohen, any type of Bia, even coerced, is considered to be enough to answer her, right? So then that would mean that we define Bia differently for a Kohen. I am telling you an amazing Kiddush, that even though the situation as it currently stands is that this woman is allowed to continue sleeping with her husband, what a tragedy, she was raped. That's nobody's fault. But if now she wants to marry a Kohen, she can't marry a Kohen. That's what I'm insisting. So if 20 years later, this husband dies, she can't marry a Kohen. And I'll prove it from our Mishnah. Vitana tuna. Remember, tuna is not a reference to a can. It's a reference to our Tana. Tuna is our Tana. So Tana tuna means not Charlie, but rather, our Tana was Tana in the Mishnah. Where does it say this in the Mishnah? This is the meaning of the Mishnah that says, V'chein ha-ba'al achat mikol ha-rayot ha-murot ha-torah, anybody who sleeps with any of the rayot or with any of the psulot of the kuhuna. Now, I challenge you, says Rav Sheshes, tell me what the word V'chein means. V'chein what? Ha-ra? Bir Shalom Kedarka, Ones, maybe? Shogeg? What do you think it's referring to when it says V'chein? I'll tell you. It's got to mean that it makes no difference whether it was V'shogeg B'mezid or B'ones U'baratza. And I'll prove it to you. And nonetheless, it says in the Mishnah that in all of these cases, Pasla, that he made this woman pasul from marrying a Kohen. Which means that even if it was Ba'ones, even if she was raped, she's puzzled from the kuhuna. Oh, now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. You can't jump to that conclusion. Maybe it means not about the intent. Maybe it means the second part of the Mishnah, which refers to the type of bia. Maybe that's what it means. The chain means that even if you just did ha'ara and you never were going with the bia, you're chayev and you puzzled from the kuhuna. Ha ha ha. Really now, says Rav Sheshes. I knew you would say that. I was waiting for this. Okay, so Ha'ara. So the Kiddush of the Mishnah is that Ha'ara is true about Arayas. V'chein. Now, here's my brilliance. The word V'chein tells me that what is the primary source? The Yavama. And it's even true about Arayas, right? I beg your pardon? What is the marker of the din of Ha'ara? The Arayas. It's Mikorah Ha'ara. So how could the Mishnah say, and so it's even true about the Arayas? It's Yavama that is learned from the Arayas. It's not the Arayas that's learned from the Yavama. So cut that one. Okay? So try again. Okay. So Eli made the Arayas. So we're talking about Ha'ara. Ha'ara of who? The Arayas? And what are you trying to say? That we learn out Arayas from the Yavama? That the din is that Ha'ara is enough? Adarab, it's just the opposite. We learned out the Yavama from the Arayas because we compared the Kicha of Arayas. Kicha, we learned out from the, of Kicha rather from the Yavama to the din of Kicha that is found in the Sugya of Arayas or in the Kuhuna. Because the Iker Hara said in Arayas, it's not said in Yibam. Okay, fine. So maybe when it was talking about V'chein, it wasn't talking about Ha'ara, but it was talking about anal intercourse. Maybe we're saying V'chein, if you sleep with an Ereva, excuse me, where do we know that Bia Shalom Kedarka is considered to be Bia? From the Arayas. That's how we learn it out to Yibam. So we certainly don't learn it from Yibam Darius. Forget about that. Adarava. The main point of Mishkevei Isha is in the Parsha of Arayas. This is marvelous, by the way, because it's a constant examination of the dinim in the Parshas HaShavua. Mamish is like going through, came out word for word. I mean, I was preparing Emor. We've got all the dinim of Achila Betruma of the Kohen. It's absolutely marvelous, right? So those of you who haven't been able to do Emor yet, just because you're in Cape Town, jump ahead and start doing MR, because that way you'll be able to enjoy the Gemara fully, and that will allow further access, Akiva Latu, further access to Friday, which is about MR and not about Kedoshim this week. And only feel that you're preparing for the future. Yes, Calvin, preparing for the future, because it's a long day, and even Calvin can show up. Fine. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So, it can't be that. So what do you think V'chein means? Well, maybe V'chein means Shelo Kedarka in those that are only Yisra Drabana. So I don't see how you can prove it. Only those that are Usher B'chai V'lavin, which according to Rashi, means like Almano the Kohen Gadol, Grush V'chalutz Kohen Edyet. This is a big discussion why he chooses those. But that, it could be, is the V'chein. Maybe it's not going on the rape and the Bia Shalo Beretzona, Vanusa. Well, my rabbi, the din is that if an Eshet Kohen herself was raped, and then the husband continues to keep her, even though he's not supposed to, every time he sleeps with her, he's going to be Chai of Malkus because she has a din of a Zayna. Well, wait a minute, what do you mean a din of a Zayna? What about a din of Anashis Isha Saita? Why are you jumping to Zaina? Ema Mishum Zaina? Mishum Tuma Loi? How about the Yisr V'acharei Asher Hutama? No, of course, that's given. I'm saying Af Mishum Zona. That in the same way we define the relationship to the Kohen because of Hilo Nitvasa, Mashen Kenashis Kohen is, that's even true Mishum Zaina. Masiv Rabbi Zera. But it says, Vehi lo nitfasa asura. So if this woman, meaning she was an Eishes Yisrael, if she would have been nitfasa, she's muteret, but that's only her. Yesh lecha acheret, there's another woman where even if she would have been raped, she would have been asura. And what's that referring to? That's referring to an Eishes Kohen. Fine, that's what you're referring to, right? But that, my dear, is not Malkus. Don't tell me af. That's a statement that is said in a positive manner. He lo nitvasa, therefore she's buteret. And you're saying, but if she, okay, but is a lav haba miklal aseh. And a lav haba miklal aseh is only an aseh. So how did Rabbi get away with saying, oh, you'd get Malkus for sleeping with her? You wouldn't get Malkus for sleeping with her. You'd be a bad boy for sleeping with her. Says Rabbi, because you lost track of what happened over here. Ha, ha, ha. She would get Malkus. You know why? Because the mocker of the Malkus is not the implication of the Pusik, silly. The mocker of the Malkus is the din of Zaina per se. Here, consider, let's take it from the top, okay? When the Torah says a Zaina, what is a Zaina? Somebody who slept with a person other than her husband. Okay. Now, the Torah goes out of its way to say, but if her husband is a Yisrael and she was raped, then there's no problem. Okay, so it comes along the pasuk to say, V'hilo nitvasa, and then that's the only reason she's usher, but if she was raped, she's muteret. But that retains the original din of the Zayna to the Eshes Kohen, darn it, don't you understand? It's not a new isser. It's the original understanding of the meaning of Zayna, that he's not allowed to marry a Zayna. That's a lav. Except that the Torah redefined Zayna for a Yisrael, but never redefined it in terms of the Kohen. See, he's left with the way things were originally. Perfect. And others learn that we start in the opposite direction. That what Rabbah said was, if an Eishes Kohen is raped, and her husband continues to keep her, then every time he sleeps with her, he's going to get Malkus because of Vehilo Nitma. But how come only because of that? How come only Lo Yuchal Baal HaRishon? Why isn't she also a Zayna? Apparently because she's raped, she's not called a Zayna? Masiv Rebbe Zera, Vihilo Nitvasa Asura, Nitvasa Muteras, Yeshla Acheres, Avapish Nitvasa Asura, and that's the Yeshus Kohen. So that would mean, Alav Abba Miklal Ase is an Ase. So how can Rabba claim that if the Kohen remains with his wife, who is not a Zaina, but she's still considered to be a Sota, and he'll get Malkus? What Malkus? It's Alav Abba Miklal Ase. And on this version, even though Zonah is not a Zonah, if she didn't want to be Zonah, Omar Rabba, because you're forgetting the structure. We start off with a woman who's married, who is Asura to her husband, Acharei Asher Hutama'a. Okay? So that would be included in Lo Yuchal Baal HaRishon. Then the pasuk comes and says, but if that's a Baal, is a Yisrael, it would not apply if she was raped, Vilo Nitvasa. Ha Nitvasa Muteret. But the Eishes Kohen, who is excluded, remains Kide Kaima Kaima. So she remains Asura the way she always was. And therefore, in this version, a Zona maybe not that gripshishes, and a Saita, yes. Whew. Alrighty, another very exciting day in these very fundamental issues of the relationship of Yibum to initial marriages and the relationship of Kinyanim to mere acts of Kinyan and to the overall question of how it is that Yibum will function just with acts. Of course, you could see how this relates to other issues as well, not only to the Cheresh, but also to the Katan. That's Tosfos Tainis before on Rashi. Why is a 9-year-old, why is that any different than a Cheresh? Why is Rashi claiming that that's only a Maimer Derabanan and that it does not consist of a real D'oraisa? You could see how this has implications all through the Perek for everything that we've been learning. And hopefully we'll continue to learn tomorrow, at what time? At regular time, tomorrow, I'll see you at 10:02. Have a great day, everybody.